You would please move within this next few moments. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon me. Lord, I pray that you would help me to say the things that you would have me to say, Father, and to be able to say them in the way that you would have me to say them. Lord, I pray that every person here would have an open heart, a receptive heart to hear your word, that the Holy Spirit would minister, that you would use me tonight, and that you would meet with us, that we could learn the truth from your word tonight. We love you, Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in John chapter number 3, and as we've already been talking about, tonight is actually our second lesson, second sermon in the Bible Boot Camp series. And the Bible Boot Camp series is a series designed to teach the basic, the fundamental truths, the basic principles that every Christian needs to know. And I don't want to review last week's sermon and go through that, although we will just a little bit because we need to. But last week we dealt with the subject of salvation. Remember, the name of the lesson was Understanding Salvation. And we gave you that handout at the end of the service. Hopefully you didn't just make paper airplanes with that. Hopefully you read through it and used it or learned from it. And we're talking about salvation. Tonight, we're dealing with the subject of eternal security. Now, you need to understand this. Eternal security is part of salvation. But it's such an important doctrine that I wanted to give it its own lesson. And you know, today, there are many churches and many religions and many different places that would say, you know, we believe in Jesus Christ and we believe that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and not of works. But there are not many places that are standing for the doctrine of eternal security. But you know, we as Baptists believe that, you know, when someone is saved, they are secure in Jesus Christ. That is our position. I'm not here to apologize for that. I'm not here to try to, trick you into believing anything else. What I would like to do tonight is give you three or four or five, we'll see how far we get into it, give you five different reasons as to why the Bible teaches, you know, in eternal security. Oftentimes, people will look at our type of churches and they'll mockingly, they'll say, oh, are you one of those once saved, always saved? And they say it in a way, kind of condescending way. But you know, I like that phrase. I embrace that phrase. Yes, I am guilty. I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. And I believe the Bible teaches that.
Amen.
And I'd like to show you that from Scripture. Let me give you five reasons. If you're taking notes, write these down. Write the references down. Look at them. The Bible says your job is to search the Scripture daily, whether those things were so. The Bible says your job is to be ready to receive God's Word, and then you search the Scripture, and you make sure that it's what the Bible teaches. But we're there in John chapter 3. Obviously, John 3 is a very well-known passage. A lot of different things we could preach about it. But I'd like you to understand this. Number one, we believe that we have the eternal security of a believer. We believe that once you are saved, you are always saved because, number one, of God's promise. Because of God's promise. You say, what are you talking about? If you look at John chapter number 3, now verse 16 is probably the most famous verse in Scripture. But before we get to verse 16, I'd like you to look at verse 15. Verse 15 is very similar to 16. John 3:15 says this, that whosoever believeth. Now I want you to make note of that word believeth. The word believe and faith are synonymous terms. They mean the same thing. It says that whosoever believeth in Him, that's Jesus Christ, should not perish, make note of this phrase, but have eternal life. The key word is eternal. Verse 16, for God so loved the world, that's you and I, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that means anybody, believeth, that's the faith, in Him, Jesus Christ, should not perish. You won't go to hell. Here's the key phrase, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in verse 15, God wants to give you eternal life. The Bible says in verse 16, God wants to give you everlasting life. Those two words mean the same thing. They're just a different way of saying the same thing. Everlasting, think about the word. What does the word everlasting mean? It means it'll last forever. Is that correct? Everlasting, last forever. I know. We at Verity Baptist Church, we break it down deep. You know what I mean? Everlasting means, you know, I try to keep it, you know, simple, because when the theologians come, I want them to be able to understand. You know what I mean? But everlasting means it'll last forever. So everlasting life is life that will last forever. Does that make sense? The word eternal, okay, what is the word eternal? Everlasting means it'll last forever. That's a positive. Eternal is saying the same thing in a negative way. Eternal means it will not end. Do you see the you see how it says eternal? That comes from the same root word as like to terminate. Remember when you got terminated from work? It means they let you go. Okay, it means you no longer work there. E is saying it won't terminate. Do you understand that? Eternal means it won't end. So he said, I want to give you eternal life. I want to give you everlasting life. You got to understand this. All throughout Scripture, God says time and time and time and time again, I want to give you everlasting life. I want to give you eternal life. You're there in John chapter 3. Look at verse number... go to John chapter 6. Now keep your finger there in John 3 because we're going to come back to it. But go to John chapter number 6. Look at verse number 40. John chapter number 6. And if you can't keep up with the Bible, just jot these verses down and you can do it you know, at home or something like that. John chapter number 6, verse number 40. John chapter 6, verse 40 says, And ye will not come to me. He's talking to the unbelievers, Jesus. He says, ye will not come to me. He said, but if you would come to me, here's what you would have, that ye might have life. Do you see that? God says He wants to give you life. God says He wants to give you life. He said, I came to give them life. But go to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. You're there in John 6. Go to John 10. Look at verse number 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. This was the verse in our bulletin this morning. John chapter 10. John 10, 27 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them, let's say the next two words together. And I give unto them, what's that say? Eternal life. Do you see that? So he says, and I give unto them, let's say it again, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Will they ever perish? He says, they'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, we're going to come back to this verse later on in the sermon. But go to Romans. You're there in John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Look at verse number 21. Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 21. Romans chapter 5. Verse 21. Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death. Romans chapter 5. Verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto... Let's read those two words together. Eternal life. How do you get it? By Jesus Christ our Lord. Go to Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, just one page over probably for you. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go to Titus chapter number 3. Titus, towards the end of your New Testament, you can find those T books, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. You say, how long are you going to keep saying that? Till you guys don't look like you're lost anymore when I tell you to go there. Titus chapter 3, look at verse number 7. Titus chapter 3, verse number 7. Look for all those T books. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. Titus chapter 3, verse 7 says that being justified by His grace, we are justified by God's grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of, let's read those two words together, eternal life. You see how the Bible constantly is saying, I want to give you everlasting life. I want to give you eternal life. I want to give you life that will last forever. I want to give you life that will never end. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, even further towards the right in your New Testament there. 1 John chapter number 1. Look at verse number 1. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 1. John, 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life, verse 2, was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that, let's read it together, eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 12. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you. God, He's telling us, this is the reason I wrote you the Bible. This is the reason I wrote you the Word. 1 John and the entire Bible. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why did He write it? Why did He give it? Look what He says. That ye may know that ye have, what's that say? Eternal life. According to the Bible, you can know you have eternal life. In fact, according to the Bible, one of the reasons God gave us the Bible was so that you could know you have eternal life. Amen. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now keep your finger there in 1 John, okay? Go in 1 John chapter 5. Go to Jude, just one page over, Jude, right before the book of Revelation. Keep your finger there in 1 John. So you should have a finger in John chapter 3. You should have a finger in 1 John, alright? Go to Jude. There's only one chapter, right before the book of Revelation. Look at verse number 21. Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto, let's read it together, just because, unto what? Eternal life. Okay, is your finger in 1 John 5? Go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. All throughout the Bible, you can't get away from it. All throughout Scripture, God says, I want to give you everlasting life. I want to give you life that will last forever. I want to give you life that will never end. Now, hold on. Those that do not believe in eternal security. And look, I've been soul winning long enough. I've talked to a lot of people that don't believe in eternal security. And you show them all these verses, here's what they say. Pastor Jimenez, I don't know where you went to school. I say, I don't know where you went to school. But they say, don't you know that the Bible, yes, God says He's going to give you everlasting life. And God's going to give you eternal life. But they say, you do not get that life until after you die. See, once you die, then God will decide to either give you everlasting life or eternal life. So here's what they say. They say, because God, see, they say, the whole time you're alive, you could be saved, you could lose it, you could be saved, you could lose it. But if you happen to be saved when you die, then you get eternal life. But if you happen to have lost it right before you died, then you won't get it. So if you die before you got eternal life, then you don't live. And somehow that makes sense. But here's the thing, okay? Let's allow the Bible to teach us. Are you there in John chapter 3? Yes. Look at verse 36, okay? When does the Bible say that you get eternal or everlasting life? Look at verse number 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son. That's Jesus Christ, right? Believeth is the faith. He that believeth on the Son, let's say this word together. Have. Man, you guys are, yeah, I just wanted you to say have. Now you're overachievers. He that believeth on the Son, here's the key word, have. Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the rather God abideth on him. Okay, here's the thing, the word have. It's our modern word. Yeah, I know. Pastor Ramirez, this King James Bible is so confusing. Have. Let me help you out. The word have means have. The word have means to hold, to maintain as a possession, to hold in one's use, to acquire, to get, to hold certain. Now, you got to understand this. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son will get everlasting life. Is that what it says? No. He that believeth on the Son may get everlasting life. Is that what it says? No. He that believeth on the Son hath. That's present tense. It means you have it. You got it. When did you get it? When you believed. Not when you died, in case you made it, you know, you endured to the end. He says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on. You got to understand this. The Bible teaches, if you're a believer, Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never perish. They'll never die. See, a believer, people say, well, once you die, then God will decide. Look, a believer never dies. One day, Pastor Jimenez will breathe his last breath on earth. And one day, you'll put him in a casket. And you will say, he's dead. But I'm not dead. I'm in heaven. My last breath here on earth will be my first breath in heaven. You may say I'm dead, and you may cry, and you better cry. But, you know, I'll be in heaven. I'll never see death. Because the Bible says that death is hell. The second death, the lake of fire. Go to, you say, well, I don't know. That's just one verse. Okay, go to John chapter 5. Look at verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5, 24. We got to hurry this up because I've got 5 points and we're barely through the first one. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent him or sent me, what's that say? Hath everlasting life. So you have it. And shall not come into condemnation. Look, will the person that ever that has everlasting life, will they ever come into condemnation? Not according to Jesus. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, you don't understand. Once you die, then God will decide if He wants to give eternal life. Well, the Bible says here that when you believe on Him, you have everlasting life, and that moment you pass from death unto life. I'm already alive. And by the way, the unbelievers, they're the ones that are dead. Go to John chapter 6, look at verse 47. John chapter 6, verse 47. John chapter 6, verse 47. John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, what's that say? Hath everlasting life. It's a possession. It's present tense. You've got it right now. Now, you got to understand this. You got to go back to 1 John. Did you keep your finger on 1 John chapter 5? Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Look what it says. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. 1 John 5, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Now, listen to me. If I'm constantly wondering, do I have it today? Do I have it now? Man, I went to church, so I got it today. But tomorrow, you know, I mean, I got mad at the dog, and I kicked the dog, and now I don't have it, now I do. Do you understand that? If we believe that you can lose it, look, you never know if you had it or you didn't, because you know what? You sin every day. You may not want to admit it, but you know you do. God says, I give you eternal life. God says, I give you everlasting life. God says, I give it to you the moment you believe you have everlasting life. Now here's the thing. Are you there in 1 John? Can you find those key books again? Can you get back to Titus? Here's the thing. You got to understand this. Here's the thing. When God says, I give you eternal life, and you have it, present tense, you have it. When God says, I give you everlasting life, and the moment you believe, you have it. For me to then say, well, no, I don't have it. It didn't last. Okay, let me just. I want to help you understand this, because this is one of the big fights we have in Christianity today. If God said, I'm going to give you everlasting life the moment you believe. Okay? I believed. When I was a child, I received Christ as Savior. I confessed with my mouth. I believed in my heart. I got saved. That's what the Bible says. Now, if God said, at that moment, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. At that moment, God said, I gave Pastor Roger Jimenez. And yes, he called me pastor when I was a kid. No, no, he didn't. He said, I gave him everlasting life. The moment he believed. Okay, here's the question. If that life ever ended, then that would make God a liar. You understand that? So, well, Pastor Jimenez, you know, I often tell this when I'm explaining this to people. I'll say, look, if God says He's going to give you everlasting life starting right now, the moment you believe, eternal life starting today, life that will last forever, life that will never end, and 5 years from now, you walk in a bank, you rob a bank, you kill somebody, and God takes away your everlasting life, did that life last forever? And the answer is no. It lasted 5 years. Here's the thing. That would make God a liar. Are you there in Titus? Look at chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus 1, 2. To say that the eternal or everlasting life ends would be to make God a liar. Titus 1, 2. In hope of, what's that say? Eternal life. Okay, that's what we're talking about, right? Eternal life. Some of you are starting to fall asleep on me. In hope of eternal life. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, eternal life. Here's your hope for eternal life. You say, what is my hope for eternal life? Here you go. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Promise before the world began. See, God can't lie. God promises you eternal life, and guess what? It's eternal life. promises you ever lost your life, then it's going to last forever. It's never going to end. And to say that it can end, and to say that it will end, is to make God a liar. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You were just there. Should be able to find it quickly. 1 John chapter 5. We've got to move on to other points. 1 John chapter 5. But I want you to see this. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 10. We were just in verse 13. But look at verse 10. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 10. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 10. I want you to see this. God takes this kind of personally. He says, when you call me a liar, I don't like it, God says. 1 John 5:10, look what it says. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. You see that? He that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Okay, so follow this if you can. He says, if you don't believe the record that God gave of his Son, then you are making God a liar. Is that what that verse says? He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Why did he make him a liar? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, if God says, if you don't believe the record that I gave of my Son, you are making me a liar. Would it not be wise of us to try to figure out what is the record that God gave of his Son? I mean, does that make sense? I know sometimes I talk fast, but I've got a lot of material. If God says, you not believing my record is you calling me a liar, then the question is, what is the record that God gave? Well, he gives it to us in verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, what's that say?
Eternal life.
And this life is in his Son. See, God says, the record is that I gave you eternal life through my Son. And then in verse 10, he says, if you don't believe the record, he says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. So someone who says, I don't believe that it's eternal life. I don't believe the moment you get saved, you get life that will last forever. You get life that will never end. I don't believe that record. Then you're making God a liar. And hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You say, Pastor Jimenez, why do you believe once saved, always saved? Here's number one reason I believe once saved, always saved. Because to say anything else is to make God a liar. He said, I have given it to you. He said, you possess it. Go back to John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 3. We said, number one, we believe the eternal security of a believer because of God's promise. Number two, we have eternal security. We believe in the eternal security of a believer because of our relationship with God. Are you there in John chapter 3? Look at verse number 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered, this is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible often uses only twice, really, in the passage there in John 3 and in 1 Peter. If you can make your way to 1 Peter, if you can't get there, that's fine. But if you want to get there, 1 Peter chapter number 1, look at verse number 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible says, Being born again. You ever heard that phrase before? Oh, there are born again believers. That's a biblical phrase. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abides forever. By the way, you are born again by the incorruptible word of God. Amen. Now here's what you understand. The Bible says, make your way to Ephesians. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. The Bible says that when you got saved, you were born again. You were born of the Spirit. You were born a new man. Now here's the thing. When you were born, look, when my wife is due in August, and when she gives birth to a child, that child will have a life here on earth. But you gotta understand this. You know that at the moment that child is born, they not only get life and they get to be out of the womb, you know that at the same time they get a family? They get a father? And they already have a father, but they'll have a father that they can see. They get a mother. And see, it's the same thing for you. When you got saved, when you got born again, you entered into a new spiritual family. Amen. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 2? Look at verse 19. Ephesians 2:19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. He said, you used to be a stranger. He said, you used to be a foreigner. He said, you used to be like an alien from another country. You weren't one of us. But, he said, now therefore, ye are no more strangers. Ye are and foreigners. He says, here's what you are. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the, here's the key word, household of God. When you got saved, you became part of the family of God. You became part of the household of God. You got born again into a new family, into a new house. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. What happened when you got saved? You got born again. What happened when you got saved? You got a new household. What happened when you got saved? You got a new father. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Now people run around saying, we're all the children of God. God loves all of us. 1 John 1:12 says this, but as many as receive Him. I don't have time to develop the context. You can study it on your own. The Him is referring to Jesus Christ. It says, but as many as receive Him, okay, those who receive Jesus Christ, to them, to who? To those that received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. Do you see that? So who's the son of God? Those that receive Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Okay, so according to 1 John 1:12, how do you become a son of God? By receiving Jesus Christ. And when you got saved, when you got born again, when you accepted that gift, you got a new father. Now here's what you're going to say. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. When you got saved, you got that new father. You enter into that new relationship. Let me just show you this. For Romans chapter 8, look at verse 14. Romans chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You got adopted into the family of God. Look at verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you got saved, you became a child of God. Is that, that's not hard to understand. I don't think most Christians would not. You know, that's why we pray, you know, Heavenly Father, our Father, which art in heaven. God became your Father. Now, you got to understand this. Before you were saved, okay, go to 1 John chapter 3. Let me just show you the verses so we can get through the material. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. When you got saved, God became your Father. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
When you got saved, you became a son, a child of God. Now here's the thing, okay? Go to John. Go to, let's see, where do I want you? Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. So you guys are looking at a lot of verses. I thought that's why you went to church.
Amen.
And I know some people go to church to go to a rock concert. Look, the world can give you a rock concert. The world can't give you the Word of God.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 11. Okay, are we in agreement to this point? When you get saved, you become a child of God. Did we see enough verses to prove that?
Amen.
He gave you the power to become the son of God. We're now the sons of God. We cry out, our Father. God is our Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He is our Father. Okay, so here's the thing. What would it take for a good parent, a person, okay, what would it take, for those of you that are parents, you've got children, what would it take, what would your child have to do for you to get so mad at them? Not that you would spank them, because you should spank them, the Bible teaches that. Not that you would kick them out of the house, because sometimes it's time to kick some people out of the house. But that you would get so mad that you would send your child to hell. And what could they do? I would submit to you that probably, no matter what they did, I bet you no mother would send their child to hell. I mean, something tonight, these guys, they're like, kill all these people and do all this stuff, and no one will be, you know, they go to that courtroom, no one's supporting them, but who's there, Mom? You know. Now here's the thing. Are you there in Matthew chapter 7? Look at verse 11. Now look at what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7. If ye then, being evil. You understand that? Jesus just told you you're evil.
I like the positive sermons only, Pastor.
Well, you don't get that from Jesus. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Here's what Jesus is saying. And He's talking about prayer, but let's take it to salvation. If you, being evil, would not say, there's nothing your child could do that would cause you to say, I am so mad, I'm going to send your little kid to hell.
You said, nothing they could do. What makes you think, if you being evil would never do that, what makes you think that your Heavenly Father would send His children to hell?
Now people say this, they say, well, are you just giving people a license to sin? I've been a pastor long enough to realize
people don't need you to give them a license to sin. They do that all on their own. They drive unregistered, unlicensed.
They sin all on their own. Okay, but you need to understand this. Think about it. God is your Father, right? Okay, my children, they disobey. What does a good father do with a disobedient child? They discipline them. When I discipline my child, I discipline them out of love. I discipline them not because I hate them, but because I love them. I correct them because I love them, and I know that if someone doesn't correct that bad attitude, or that disobedient spirit, or that arrogancy, that they're going to get themselves in trouble. So here's the thing. You and I, as believers, as a child of God, when you sin, and when I sin, God will chastise His children, yes. I'm not saying that, you know, just go live like the devil, go get drunk, go be a fornicator, it's okay, you're saved, you can never lose it. Look, Paul said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
But you got to understand this. Paul also said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Do you understand that God has more grace than you've got sin? And if a good dad would discipline his children, but would never send them to hell, that Heavenly Father also disciplines His children.
You reap what you sow. We understand that. We're not saying you can live like the devil and nothing's going to happen. Look, on this earth, God will correct His children. Every good dad does.
Amen.
But we've got this warped concept of God that you did something wrong, so now I'm going to send you to hell.
You would never do that. And you being evil would never do that. Why do you think God would do that?
You say, well, you think people can get away with sin? I never said that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God will correct sin on earth. But once you're part of the family, look, there's nothing I can do to make my kids stop being my kids. They can grow up. They can be 18. They can say, I don't want anything to do with you, Dad. I don't want to be part of your family. I never want to see you again. But you know what? Whether they like it or not, they'll always be my kids. And in the same way, spiritually, when you got born into the family, look, God, you just get this concept. God's a better dad than you are. If you never send your kids to hell, He won't either. So why do we believe in eternal security? Number one, because to not believe it will make God a liar. Because He said you have it. Said hath everlasting life. Why do we believe in eternal security? Because to not believe it makes God a worse parent than you are. Which is obviously hard to believe. Number three, why do we believe in eternal security? We believe in eternal security because of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We got to get through this material whether you like it or not. Ephesians chapter... I'm just kidding. We're almost done. Ephesians chapter 1. That's not true. We're not almost done. I lied to you. But I still have my salvation. Ephesians chapter 1. That's a memorable illustration for you to remember. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1. We can get through it quickly. You just got to move fast. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, okay? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Ephesians 1, 13. I mean, that's a perfect example of salvation. What is salvation? To trust in Jesus. After you hear the word of truth, you need the word. The gospel of your salvation, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in whom after that ye believed. Look what it says. Now please get this. After that ye believed, the Bible says this, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now there are those that run around today saying, when you get saved, you don't get the Holy Spirit.
When you get saved, you know, you got to go through this process and you will eventually get the gifts of the Spirit and you will eventually get it. But my friend, that is not what the Bible says.
Amen.
The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye believed the word of the of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God says, when you believe, I sealed you with the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. So when did you get it? When did you get the Spirit? When were you sealed? After you believed. Is that not what it says? After that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Spirit. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Now we understand that the power of the Holy Spirit can come upon you from time to time. And we understand that. And I'll preach a sermon about that. We'll get that squared away. But you need to understand this. You were sealed after you believed. Guess what else has happened when you believed? You got everlasting life. It all happened at the same time. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, that word redemption, that's an important word. Because to redeem something, the idea of redeeming something is that you're going to purchase it. Do you understand that? I'm going to redeem that means I'm going to purchase that back. I'm going to get that for myself. Go to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Look at verse 27. John chapter number 6. Verse number 27. John chapter number 6. Verse 27. Now look. We just got a couple more things to look at and we'll be done. John chapter 6 verse 27. Look at what it says. I just want to be thorough with this. I want you to see it. John chapter 6 verse 27. John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto, look what it says, everlasting life. Do you see that? Which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him have God the Father, don't miss this word, sealed. Do you see that? Do you see the correlation between getting everlasting life and being sealed? And we just saw in Ephesians, you're sealed by what? The Holy Spirit of promise. And when did you get it? When you believed. And God says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that God the Father hath sealed. So, being sealed has to do with your everlasting life. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You were sealed with the Spirit when you believed. You were given everlasting life. Why? Because you were sealed. Second Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Who hath also sealed us? How were you sealed? And given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now look, the word earnest means serious. It means you are sincere in your intentions. I've used this illustration before, often in the purchase of a home. When my wife and I bought our home, a buyer is asked to put down some earnest money. When we looked at our house and we said, this is the one, we like this one, this is the one we want to buy, the real estate agent said, okay, I need you to give me $1,000. And I said, well, I don't like it that much. But they said, you know, that's earnest money. And what that is $1,000 is you're saying, hey, I am serious. I like this house. I want to buy it. And if we went through and bought it, then that $1,000 went towards the down payment. But if we put the $1,000 and then a few days later said, you know, I don't know if that's the one, and I backed out of the deal, then guess what? I lost that $1,000. And the real estate agent said to me, that's called earnest money. That's to let us know that you are serious. See, you say you want to redeem this house. You say you want to purchase this house. Well, we want you to put your money where your mouth is, put $1,000 down that you can lose if you back out, and that'll let us know that you are serious about buying this house. And this is what I told my wife. If I put $1,000 for that house, I'm buying that house.
But I'm way too cheap to lose $1,000.
Now, God said that He gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Do you understand the analogy there? Say, why did you get sealed with the Holy Ghost? Here's what God was doing. He was putting a down payment on you. He said, I'm coming back for you. He said, I'm going to redeem you.
I'm going to purchase you. One day this corruptible will put on incorruption. One day this mortal will put on immortality. One day we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. One day we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. One day we will be with Jesus for eternity in heaven. He's coming back for us. And He said, to show you that I'm serious, let me put my earnest down. My spirit. Let me seal you with my spirit. Now look, you got to understand the analogy. When I back out of that deal, I lose that earnest money. What you're saying is that if God were to back out of this deal, He would lose the spirit. You think God would lose the spirit? But God is the spirit. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. So why do you believe in eternal security? Because I'm so sure that I'm saved that if I went to hell, the Holy Spirit would have to come with me. He said, that's kind of blasphemous. I'm not trying to be blasphemous. I'm just trying to tell you. He said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. God said, I am so serious of saving you that I'm going to put down the earnest of the Spirit. He said, I have sealed you. He said, I gave you, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Number four, go back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look, we're going to look at two verses and we're done. Two verses, we're done. John chapter 10, verse 4. John chapter 10, verse 28. John chapter 10, verse 28. Say, Pastor Jimenez, why do you believe in the eternal security of the believer? Pastor Jimenez, what do you believe? One saved, always saved. Because to believe otherwise would make God a liar, saying that the promise that He gave us, He'd go back on. To believe otherwise would be to believe that God the Father would send His child to hell. To believe otherwise would mean that He would lose His Spirit when He gave me the earnest of the Spirit. He said, I'm so serious of coming back for you and redeeming you that I'll give you my Spirit just to show you how serious I am. Then why do you believe in eternal security? Here's why I believe in eternal security. Because no man is greater than God. Are you there in John chapter 10? Look at verse 28. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall, make note of this word, these two words, any man. Does it say neither shall some men? No. It says neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. Make note of this, please. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You understand this? You say, why do you believe in eternal security? Because look, once you're in the Father's hand, there is no man that can pluck you out of that hand. Do you understand that? Once you're in the Father's hand, I heard Pastor Anderson give this illustration recently. I was talking, he told me about it. But a few years back, my wife and I were in Arizona. I was preaching at Faith for Work. Pastor Anderson and I were out soul winning, and we knocked on a door, and the lady came out, and he showed her this verse, you know. And she said, well, no, I'm sorry, he didn't show her this verse. She said, well, I don't believe in eternal security. We said, well, look, you know, God's never gonna give up on you. God's never gonna. Here's what she said. She said, look, it's like this. It's like you and God are walking down the road, and you're holding hands. And He'll never let go of you, but you can let go of Him. I want to say He showed her this verse, but I can't remember now. But we were talking about it afterwards, and it's kind of silly when you think about it. Because look, if you're holding hands with somebody, if you let go of God, does that mean He let go of you? Now, if I'm holding hands with you, and you let go of me, that doesn't necessarily mean I let go of you. Now here's the thing, you could get away from me if you're stronger than me. And none of you are. No. No. Do you understand that? I mean, if Brother Alessandro comes up here, I'm shaking his hand, he lets go, and I try to hold on. Now, he's a big guy, so he might just, yuck it up. But if my son comes up here, and I'm shaking his hand, and he lets go, he's not going anywhere. I'm stronger than he is. You understand that? For you to say, Pastor Menace, if I do some horrible sin, if I kill somebody, if I commit adultery, if I do something, then I can let go of God. What are you? You think you're stronger than God the Father? You think you're stronger than God? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That includes you. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. That's you too. And no man, you need to understand, that includes you, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then why don't you believe in eternal security? Because to believe that you can lose your salvation is to believe in a works salvation.
Go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. We're done right here. This is the last verse. This is the last point. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. 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 Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. How were you saved? Not by works of righteousness. Not by the things you've done. Not by your church attendance. Not by your baptism. Not by the fact you live a good life. Not by repenting of your sins. Not by anything you've ever done. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. How were we saved? According to His mercy He saved us. He says that none of us deserve to go to heaven. We all deserve to go to hell. And if you go to heaven, it's by God's grace, it's by God's mercy, and it's not by anything you've ever done. Now here's the thing. Many a Christian, you know, say, hey, salvation is by grace. Amen. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation is by faith. Amen. Salvation is not of works. Amen. Salvation is something you can't lose. Well, I don't know about that. Now hold on a second. If you think, I can't do anything to earn salvation, God had to give it to me. Jesus had to die for me in order to get it. I mean, do you understand that? If I could earn salvation, why did Jesus die?
That's right.
If I could go to church enough, if I could live a good enough life, why did He die? Here's the thing. I couldn't go to church enough. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. If I couldn't earn it, then why is it that I can lose it if I never got it to begin with? It was given to me. Now here's the thing. People say, well, if you do something, if you commit suicide, that's the big one. Everybody's like, if you commit suicide, you can lose your salvation. You got that from the Catholic Church. You did not get that from the Word of God. If you commit suicide, you lose your salvation. If you commit adultery, you lose your salvation. If you kill somebody, you commit your salvation. Then think, just follow this thought with me. Then I'm saved as long as I don't commit suicide, as long as I don't kill somebody, as long as I don't commit adultery. Listen, if that's what you believe, then that salvation is dependent on you, not Jesus Christ. And look, when you want to add works to salvation, you say, well, no, I would never do that. But then why are you trying to add works at the end? If I can't do anything to get me saved, it's through the faith in Jesus Christ, then why could I do anything to get me unsaved? Look, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He's my Father. I'll never stop being His son. Say, why, Pastor Mendes, why do you believe in eternal security? I believe in eternal security because of God's promise. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I have it right now, and if it ever stops being, then I would lose it. Why do you believe in eternal security? I believe in eternal security because of my relationship with God. He's my Father. I'm His Son. And to say that God would send His Son to hell was to say that God is a worse parent than you. Say, why do you believe in eternal security? Because of the sealing of the Holy Ghost. He gave me the earnest of the Spirit. He gave me the Holy Ghost the moment I believed to assure me, to show me how serious He was in His intent to save me. And to say that He would back out of the deal is to say that He would lose the Spirit. Why do you believe in eternal security? Because no man's greater than my Father. My Father can beat up your Father. Why do you believe in eternal security? Because to say that you're going to lose your salvation is to say that that salvation is dependent on you. And if that's not enough to convince you, then you just need to get saved. And by the way, if you don't believe in eternal security, you're not saved. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to explain to you something. If you believe that you can lose your salvation, then you have not put your faith completely on Jesus Christ, because a little bit you're still trusting yourself, as long as I don't fill in the blank. The Bible teaches the eternal security of the believer. It is part of salvation. It is a fundamental truth. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Thank You for our church. Lord, I pray You'd help us as we go through this series to get these doctrines nailed down. Lord, I pray that You would help us to not just believe something because that's what Pastor Jimenez thinks, but to go home and search the Scriptures daily and study it out for ourselves, to have an open mind, to have an open spirit. Father, I ask that You would please help us, Lord, to be people of the book, of the Bible, to know not just what we believe, but why we believe it. We love You, Lord. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.